I know a lot of you have had this experience because for those of us who in 2020 were all sent home and we were stuck in a lockdown during the pandemic, we had a lot of time on our hands. And I saw an ad for Masterclass and I thought, I want to better myself. I want access to all of these brilliant people who teach you things. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with more than 200 plus of the world's best and smartest. For just under 10 bucks a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And I don't care, you can wake up one morning and say, I want to learn about business. And then another where you say, I want to learn how to survive in the wild if I have no water and no fire to make me warm. You can access Masterclass on your phone, on your computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. And the classes totally make a difference. Don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/Liz. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/Liz. Masterclass.com/Liz. Oh, you guys are in for a good one. You know, they say people are just as much a product of genetics as they are their surroundings. So how's this for surroundings? I don't know, I'm going to describe this to you. It's, say, 9 o'clock at night. The roads of New York City's notorious Bronx in the 1950s are quiet. Of the streetlights that are working, many simply flicker. I mean, you'd flinch at the sound of a garbage can top hitting the pavement because knowing this neighborhood, it could just as well be gunfire. And if you're standing on the street, you know you could be yet another mention in the newspaper and not even on the front page because murders are pretty much commonplace. My guest today not only lived in that, he drew upon it to become a playwright, a screenwriter, and an Oscar-nominated actor. Bronx-born Chaz Palminteri wrote and starred in A Bronx Tale about life in New York City's borough, known as much for its deadly violence as it was its colorful neighborhoods, each with a distinct ethnicity. In truth, the Bronx neighborhood of Belmont back then was very rough and filled with hustlers and characters and vicious criminals. In fact, at age 9, Chaz witnessed a murder. So how does a child overcome such a horrifying experience that's imprinted in his cortex to soar to the very top of both Broadway and Hollywood? Oh yeah, and today he also calls himself a New York restaurateur. I am so thrilled to get the story from Chaz Palminteri himself. Welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz.
Well, thanks very much, Liz. It's nice to be here.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm floating. I'm levitating. Yeah. But when I was really digging into your story,
right,
I could not believe that at age 9 you witnessed a murder.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny about that, Liz? People always think it's like this horrific event. And of course, I guess it is. When my son was 9, I told my wife, I go, you know, I was that age when I saw this thing happen. And I looked at him and I felt so like, oh my God.
Right.
But when it happened with me, I thought about it. My father, all I remember is my father dragging me. I saw him kill him right in front of me, literally from me to you. And when he killed him, he kind of stared at me and then he walked away, walked back into the bar. And I remember looking at the other guy laying on the floor bleeding. And then the next minute I knew my father just grabbed my arm and dragged me upstairs. I didn't rat the guy out when the cops came. But it never really bothered me, but I thought about it all my life. Every once in a while, if I saw two guys fighting over a parking space, it would come in my head. I would say, oh, wow. It would just slip in my head. Again, no nightmares, no nothing. And then one day when I was desperate, it would have the story was, and I had to write, and I said, well, if they will give me a great part, what could I write about? And I remembered that story. And I started writing about my relationship with the wise guy and my father and me in the middle. And that's how it all started.
And that became A Bronx Tale.
And that became A Bronx Tale, yeah.
Tell me about your dad. Tell me about your parents.
Well, if you saw the movie, that was my mother and father. My dad was a bus driver, my father Lorenzo, and he was a very honorable stand-up Italian man, Sicilian. And very much, he always used to say, you're 100% Sicilian. Don't forget that. 100%. When people say they're Sicilian, they're usually half. He used to go, but you're 100%. I go, I know that. I know. And 30 years working as a bus driver, never late once. Never late once. Not once. All they cared about, my mother and father, was to giving our life a better life. And my dad wrote on a card, he wrote, "The saddest thing in life is wasted talent." And he wrote that, and he put it in my room, and my sister's room, too. And my sisters were very successful before me. I was the latest. You know, I didn't hit till I was in my late 30s. And he just said, "Don't, you're in this life, don't waste it. You got dreams. Dreams are for when you're awake, not when you're asleep." You know, I mean, he was, my mother, too. Both of them. You see, my dad played saxophone. He sang. My mother was an incredible artist. And I think maybe they just, it was different back then. You know, they had to go to work and do things, and they wanted their children to aspire and do great things, and they made it happen.
You could have just as easily, though, fallen into what you were surrounded by, and
yeah.
That's crime, although obviously your parents would have never allowed you. That's what I'm getting a sense of. But when did you first realize, wait a minute, I have not just an ability, but a desire to perform and to, well, you said writing came after you couldn't get an acting job.
But I did write when I was in my early teens. So, but I always wanted to be an actor when I was about 10. My mother would take me to the movies and I would see, I remember the colors of the cinema and I was just so, just watching it. I just said, I could do that. I could do that. You know, and I always wanted to be an actor. And then the writing just, I was an artist, like. I was this artist trapped in this neighborhood guy who was like an artist. It was strange, you know, because I loved art. I loved writing. But then when you're in that neighborhood, and don't get me wrong, it was a wonderful neighborhood. Was there bad things that happened there? Absolutely. Was there violence there and drugs? No question. But it was everybody was Italian. It was a great neighborhood. I loved growing up there. I had a wonderful childhood. And I always tell people that. That was an event that happened to me. But you know what? I don't know where I'd be right now if that didn't happen to me.
Well, that is what I love to pass on to our listeners, that, you know, nothing should ruin you, but it can define a path, even if at the time it looks very damaging.
No question. Sometimes getting fired from a job is the best thing that ever happened to you. In fact, what happened, and I'll make the story, I'll condense it. I was in L.A. I got there, and I started having success right away. Got on Hill Street Blues, got on Matlock, got on Dallas. I did the Peter Gunn. But then all of a sudden, I ran out of money like anybody else, so I got a job as a doorman. Because I used to bounce in New York and I boxed. So I got a job there, and make a long story short, and I know it's too late now, but I am. But I was I was standing by the door once, and this guy was rude to me, and I didn't let him in. And who was it? It was Swifty Lazar.
Oh,
and
Swifty Lazar,
big agent, the biggest in the world at the time. And I didn't let him into his own party because he was rude. And so he looked at me and said, "You'll be fired in 15 minutes. I said, "Really? Sure." 15 minutes later, the boss asked me to come in the office, and he said, "Chaz, you know that was Swifty Lazar." I said, "I don't know who he was, you know." He said, "Well, I have to let you go. He has too many parties here. I love you, man. You're a great guy, and but I got to let you go. He wants you out." I said, he was a French guy, Furneaux, his name was. And I said, "Furneaux, that's fine. Don't worry about it. So you've been good to me." So I went home. I sat on the edge of my bed. I said, "What am I going to do?" I was living in this dump in North Hollywood. And I said, "Well," I looked at the television, the refrigerator, and on the car, it was there, "The saddest thing in life is wasted talent," because I always carried a card with me.
From your dad.
And I said, "If they won't give me a great part, I'll write one myself. What could I write about?" I said, "I'm going to write about Sonny," when I saw that. So I sat there and I wrote it. I performed it for my theater. And all of a sudden, they just went crazy. And I said, "Oh, wait a minute." So each week, I would write and perform it. On a Monday night, write more, perform it. At the end of almost a year, I had 90 minutes of this one-person show. I said, "I'm going to do a movie on stage." And I clapped my hands, and it was like a film cut. It's never been done before. It's never been done since. I borrowed money off a friend, a very dear friend who lent me money. I put the show up, produced it myself. And Liz, it was like a rocket ship. A week after I did the show, the reviews came out in the Times, and it was like insane. Everybody wanted it to do it. Every actor wanted to play Sonny. Every star, every writer wanted to write the screenplay. Every director wanted to do it. Every studio head. I got offered $250,000 days after the reviews. And I said, oh my God, I had $200 in the bank. And I said, but I want to play Sonny. And I want to write the screenplay. They said, no, we can't do that. I said, but wait a minute, it's my story, it's my life. They said, we'll give you $250,000, kid. It's 35 years ago. And I said, no, I play Sonny, I write the screenplay. They said, forget it. So people say, are you crazy? Yeah, no money. I said, I don't care. 3 weeks later, another studio calls, $500,000. My hand to God if I'm lying. Okay? Again, I say no, because they won't let me do it. A month later, crowds are getting bigger, lines around the corner, $1 million to walk away. I said,
are you kidding? You walked away.
I walked away, my hand to God if I'm lying to you, okay? And he said, and they said to me, I'll never forget the guy. He goes, Chaz, you realize you're blowing this thing. We're offering you $1 million. I said, I play Sonny, I write the screenplay. He goes, you know, this movie will never get made. I said, you're right, with you. And he said, why is that? I go, because it's too good. And a week later, I did the show, and I got off stage. The stage manager runs over to me and says, hey, you better get down to your dressing room. Robert De Niro just came in there. He wants to talk to you. I said, Robert De Niro? He goes, yeah. I walk in the dressing room. Bob was sitting there. He goes, hi, how you doing? I said, hi. And I you know, this is like one of my idols, you know. And he said, what a great show. And he just raved about it. And he said, I know they wanted to buy it off you. He goes, well, if you sell it, they're going to come to me anyway. He said to me. He goes, but I tell you what, I said, look, Bob, I'm not going to sell it. I want to play Sonny. I want to write the screenplay. He said, I'll tell you what, you play Sonny, you'll be great. You write the screenplay because it's your life. It'll be honest. I'll play your father. I'll direct it. And he goes, and if you make it with me, we'll make it right. I shook his hand, and that's how it happened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
Was your dad alive to see that?
Well, oh, my dad saw all my success.
All of it.
All of it. My mother saw all my success. My mother died at 97. My father died at 90.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
My father, De Niro says, can I call your father? I want to talk with him. I'm like, you want to speak to my father?
That's so
nice.
He goes,
yeah. He called my father. He says, when I come up there, I want to hang out with you for a month. Now, you got to picture this now. My Italian father, who loved Robert De Niro.
Of course.
Was a god. He said, Robert De Niro, Mr. De Niro, you know, Mr. De Niro called me. He wants me to, I go, Dad, he wants to get to know you and, you know, see how you are. And my father taught him how to drive the bus.
You're kidding.
No. Bob wanted my father to teach him how to drive the bus because he wanted him to see how he moved his hands and how he did the change. And I said to Bob, I said, Bob, nobody knows my father. You don't have to repeat what he did. You know, he goes, no. That's how exact this guy is. So you see him like hitting the chains like my father, doing everything like my father did, carrying the pillow underneath his arm as he walked home from work. Pretty amazing, man. Pretty amazing.
Also amazing is that it didn't stop at Hollywood. It came to Broadway with Bullets Over Broadway.
Yeah.
Talk about the genesis of that.
Well, the play, Bullets Over Broadway?
Correct, yeah.
Well, that was I got seen before Bronxville came out. Woody Allen wanted to see me because he heard about this kid who did this play and he's going to be with De Niro. And I read for this part with Woody Allen.
Right.
And I was I was really an unknown because Bronxville didn't come out yet. And then I got the part. And he said, that kid was born to play the part because he wanted a tough guy, a street guy, who was an artist. Who happened to be this brilliant playwright.
I mean, you were so good.
I mean, I was so right for the
role.
Oh,
my God. It screamed you.
Yeah. And Woody always says that, you know. And obviously, I got nominated for Academy Award. And then Bronx Tale came out. Bullets came out. And I've been riding the rocket ship now for 30-something years.
This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we will be right back. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Klayman. Just go to Indeed.com/Klayman right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Klayman. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Well, let's not leave out my personal favorite, The Usual Suspects.
The Usual Suspects, yeah.
I have to say, there are movies that come on, you know, on cable, and you're, you flip through them. And even if you've seen them many times, there's only a few for me that I will always stop and watch the whole thing.
You have to watch it,
All the President's Men.
Yes.
About, obviously, Watergate. I can't stop watching that.
I do, too.
I love Bridesmaids, which is hysterical.
Yeah, Braveheart does it for me. The Godfather, I do it.
Okay.
I have to watch it.
So, for me, is The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I just think that whole cast and you.
Yeah, because it's so unusual. You don't know what's true, what he's lying.
Yes.
I mean, it won the Academy Award, so let's face it. So it was a great script, great script.
Kaiser Sose. Oh, my gosh. Well, when you look back at your career on stage and on the big screen, how important is the message that you keep trying no matter what?
Oh, that is my whole life. I always give back. I walk around. I have cards with me sometimes that say, "The thing in life is wasted talent." When I meet an actor, he'll say, "Mr. Park, can I talk to you 1 second?" I say, "All right, go ahead. I'm in the, I'm walking." And I go, "Walk with me. Go ahead. Come on." And he says, "You have any words of encouragement?" And I say, "Look, you gotta, I said, be good at what you do and be well liked, and you'll be successful. Those are the two key things." I said, "It'll happen for you, but you gotta be really good. And you got to be well-liked." And he said, "Thanks a lot." And I reached in my pocket. I take out a card. I said, "Here." And I signed. I said, "Remember that. Don't waste your talent." And sometimes, Liz, I'll meet people. I could leave here right now and go outside. And somebody go, "Hey, Mr. Palminteri, how you doing?" I say, "Hey, how are you?" And he goes, "You remember this?" And he shows me the card.
Oh.
He'll go, "Yeah, I'm on a show now. I'm on a soap. And 5 years ago, you gave me this card. I want to say it worked out." I said, "Oh, that's great."
Well, you can't keep a man or a woman down who just won't quit.
No.
And you've got to just keep going. And what I find interesting is that your path has now led you to becoming a restaurateur. You have two restaurants in New York City.
I have two great restaurants, one on 30 West 46th Street, Charles Palminteri's, and one in White Plains, New York, 264 Main Street. Really great Italian restaurants. You know, people always go, "I got the best Italian restaurant in the city." You know what? There's a lot of great Italian restaurants in the city. Do I have one of the best? Yes. No question. Is it always fresh, always right? And I say, you know why? Because my name's on it. And you know my Italian friends? I don't want to hear them when they come to my restaurant, because they'll let me have it if nothing is great. It's always fresh. It's always great. And that's important to me.
What have you learned running restaurants that you didn't know being an actor?
What I learned about restaurants is there's always a fire. You spend your whole day. Well, I don't. I shouldn't say that.
Right,
Jack
right.
and Jeff Sinaj, the Sinaj brothers, they have the Empire, a steakhouse. That's why I want partners. But you have to go with people who know, who've been there before, who had successful restaurants. People who just jump in the restaurant business are never successful. It's impossible. It's impossible. But I partners with these guys. Every time when I go there, it's like, "Well, this guy didn't show up. The cook wants this." It's always putting out a fire every day. And I go, my God, that's a tough, tough business. You think acting's tough? The show business is tough? That's a tough business.
Well, more restaurants have gone under than have succeeded
especially
in this world.
Since COVID. COVID, I think a third of the restaurants went over. And I don't think a lot of them never came back.
Yeah, it was absolutely horrifying for so many people who were good business people their entire life and savings into these restaurants.
Yeah, COVID hurt a lot of people.
Chaz, you know, you're such an interesting person because of your mosaic of experiences. When you think about struggle and you go back to that time you were living in what you described as the dump in North Hollywood, how do you hold on and not give up when you get so many no's?
Yeah. That's a good question. Sometimes I'll go to colleges and I'll do a master class to the actors or the writers. And what I say to them, I go, every time you go in, it's mostly no. So you got to understand that. Be prepared for the word.
Right off the bat.
No. Al Pacino used to say a funny thing to me. We used to talk and he said, I don't know why these young actors get so upset when they don't get the part. He goes, you're probably not going to get it anyway. Just go in there and give a great audition. The real key, Liz, to being successful, of course, being good at what you do, being well-liked. But I love to read these books about people's success. And I read this book about CEOs, what made them so successful. And you would think it would be, you know, determination, perseverance, grit, grind. Yes, they had all those things. But they all agree that the number one reason, the number one thing that makes you successful, adaptability. How you adapt to everything.
Pivot.
How you could pivot. Mm. Emotional intelligence is more important than IQ. I don't care what anybody says.
Warren Buffett says the exact same thing. He says that some of the guys who triggered the worst sell-offs in Wall Street history had really high IQs, but they were complete imbeciles.
Imbeciles, emotionally. Yeah. When I got into the actor's studio, I studied with Lee Strasberg himself. Wow. And I studied with Lee, and I was in the actor's studio. And when I was this young actor, and I went in there, and I saw these actors, I was like, oh, my God. How great are these guys? I was like, holy smokes. I mean, actors like you wouldn't believe. And I used to say, I don't understand it. How could this guy not make it? And then going to the studio a lot, I got to know these guys. And I could see, you know, one was an alcoholic, one with drugs, one didn't show up. One was so bitter that he hasn't made it. He was angry all the time. And I went, oh, okay, I see. As I got older, I saw that people just said, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm not going to deal with this. You know, even in your line of work, you could be brilliant at what you do. But if nobody wants to work with you, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, you can get somebody who's not as brilliant as that guy, but good. And everybody wants to work with him.
And a delight. Or from whom people can learn.
Yes.
I always try and be a teacher. That's how my dad was. He always wanted to teach. He was a surgeon, but he said, in the world of life, by pulling somebody aside and saying, you know, you oughta, or inspiring them,
he said,
you could change the course of that person's life.
Yes.
Which you have with your cards when people approach you, it feels like.
Yes, and which I had with my movie. And now with my podcast. I have my own very successful podcast, Chaz Parmentary Show. And I also do another podcast with Michael Francis, The Wise and the Wise Guy. And in those two shows, all we do is give back. We talk about great books. We talk about Michael. Michael changed his life around. Obviously, I changed my life around. And we just talk about, it's always your next decision, Liz. It's that close. And the way I tell people to handle no's, how I tell them this, I said, I'll tell you what, I tell these actors. I go, if I told you that you're going to get 50 more no's and the 51st no, that's when it's going to be yes. How would you feel? Well, I said, how would you feel if I sent you on 10 auditions and you didn't get any of them? How would you feel? He said, well, I would feel great because I'm 40 now. I'm closer. I go, that's the way you got to feel.
Right. You're never knowing. You're never going to know.
You never know.
You've got to get out there.
And Woody Allen told me this. The most important thing in life, show up. If you don't show up, nothing could happen.
And do the best you can, even when you don't feel like it.
Oh, that's...
You know who said that? Shari Lewis, the puppeteer, yes, the ventriloquist.
Do the best you can, even when you
don't feel like it.
Because sometimes the people who don't feel like it, you could sense that.
Yeah.
I'm a director. When I'm directing a movie, and I used to say, I'll give you three puffs. Twice you could do it to me, but that's it. In other words, I'll ask a question and they'll go, all right, I'll let one get away. I'll even let maybe two get away while I'll say, listen, could you go down and pick? That's it. One more and you're gone.
Chas, as we finish up, how grateful are you today to Swifty Lazar for having you fired as a security guard?
That's such a people said that to me, Liz, and I said I never got a chance to thank him. He died right after
right,
that.
Right.
But I never got a chance to thank him about that. But it goes to show you, I got fired from a job. I had no money in the bank. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. And that was the impetus to make me write. And I tell people, if they want to come and see the one-man show, all they have to do is go to chaspalmentary.net. And my whole schedule for the whole national tour is there. Or go to my Instagram, Chas Palmentary, and they can know everything about me.
And there is so much to know, but so much to use as fuel to reach you guys for your own goals. I pray that you listen to this over and over again. Spread it to everybody you know, because it is like gold, more valuable than a troy ounce of gold. Chas, thank you so much.
God bless. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm honored to have you. And you guys, as always, I am so honored that you give me your precious time every single week to listen to Everyone Talks to Liz. I will hear you and see you next time. I got to go do my show, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Fox Business Network. Want to listen ad-free? You can do it with a Fox News Podcasts Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And then Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.